AC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Eglin. You got old man Corey Majors and the famous Alec Medford as we are live at Uncle Julio's in Fort Worth off of Camp Bowie. We've been having fun all day long, and oh man, I am excited for this segment. Cowboys, thank you or no thank you notes. And I feel like the most logical thank you note to start with, thank you to Jalen Carter for being a dumbass and getting kicked out before the first play from scrimmage.
One of our tolos also did say no thank you Jalen Carter, because that's gross.
Yeah, don't spit on people. At least it landed on, is it weird that I'm thinking spitting on his jersey will get him in far less trouble than if you were to like spit on his face? Because I know people are like, oh, he might get suspended, and I'm like, oh, landing on his jersey, I wonder if they'll factor that in. Is that weird that I'm yes
it
I
is.
I agree
Mike McCarthy, either way is disgusting. Again, Dak spitting in your general direction, yeah, if you spit it in my direction, I'm offended-ish,
right?
I'm asking what's wrong with this guy. You spit on me, and I'm punching you. And so then that, so you've assaulted me, now I can assault you back. Isn't that how it works?
Yeah, no.
All right.
Because I think what you learned, no, don't support that. You got Jalen Carter kicked out. If you would have punched him back or something, then you probably would have gotten thrown out.
Oh, it's the retaliation that always gets the flag. That's right.
From the 972, no thank you to the Cowboys receivers. If you can't man up against the most hated division rivals, sit out. Now, that feels like that could apply to a few people. Is it Jalen Tolbert for seeing blocking opportunities and been like, I'm going to pass on that? Is it Jake Ferguson for dropping what would have been the go-ahead touchdown pass? And, man, he feels like he's gotten off light in the last 12 hours or so. Or is it CeeDee Lamb for dropping numerous opportunities yesterday?
I think they are specifically talking about CeeDee Lamb. I'm just taking a guess on this one, because that's the, I mean, he was the one that got the big targets in the big moment.
Sure.
Against the big opponent. Like, they're frustrated with that. That first half, doesn't matter what you did, buddy. It's the end of the game when it matters the most.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate for him. I would like to give a thank you note, Kevin, to Kyer Elam, Kenneth Murray, and James Houston. I like those guys a lot out there.
Except for that one Kyer Elam play.
The one Kyer. Other than that, dude, he put his nose in there. He was making – look, Diggs was the one that happened to be on the goal line when the run came through.
Right.
And I was like, he's not tackling him. He acted like he tried, and that's okay. I appreciate it. But Kyer Elam, he was sticking his nose in there, trying to make some tackles. He had six tackles on the night. I appreciate that. And Kenneth Murray led the team with tackles, tied with Malik Hooker. Those dudes were in there being physical, chiming with what they wanted. Unleash us. Did you hear that part
yes,
of it?
I really
enjoyed hearing that.
Yeah, and in the first half, I would have been like, you were unleashed. Like, let's see their punter. So I want to give a thank you note to cut this player from cut number 17. I actually got nervous and did not like that the Cowboys ran another play to make the field goal closer for Brandon Aubrey. I was like, just let him kick it from 62. He'll be fine. But instead, he kicked it from 53. Let's hear it. Never a doubt.
Snap good. Hold good. 53 yards.
Good.
Thank you to Brad Sham for that.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely.
the entire place last night where I was at the Bearded Monkey, Kevin, was like, as soon as it left his foot, everybody knew. As you just said, never a doubt. No thank you to Miles Sanders.
Yeah.
Listen, man, hold on to the ball. You got four carries last night. One of them was on the ground.
Man, one of them was almost as good as it could be, and the next one was as bad as it could have been.
And I think it completely altered the game because of where you were field position wise. You changed the game there. You changed your. You know what, Kevin? Let's say they don't make it. They kick a field goal. They're down 24-23. Now you don't have to get a touchdown at the end of the game. Now you can kick another field goal to win the game, and we would have had a walk-off with Brandon Aubrey maybe from 75, 85 yards. Who knows? Exactly. He can kick it from Lubbock, as Schottenheimer said. So that's a missed opportunity there.
Now, coaching soccer practice, no thank you. Made me miss all but 3 points in the game.
Oh, man.
And then I like this. Thank you to Javonte Williams He looked great and showed a ton of fight and toughness. Man,
he's a tough runner, man.
He was moving the pile when I thought at least two plays were dead.
Yeah, there was one near the goal line, right? He was up, they were about 8 yards, 10 yards out, and he pushed it all the way down to the 1 yard line after everybody thought he should be down already.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things. That's the Javonte Williams that I kind of saw coming back a little bit last year with the Broncos at the end. And so that's the one that I was expecting. Okay, he's going to be a little bit healthier. He has the ability to run with that kind of force. So hopefully that's the case for him, man.
Now, I've seen a couple that kind of follow this idea. No thank you to the refs for not calling any early holds on the Eagles, especially the egregious one on Donovan Ezeraku. I get some of the other ones, man. I thought the one on Ezeraku where he was getting hooked and thrown to the ground, I was like, come on, dude.
Yeah, no, and Kevin, you can call it on every play. There are plenty that I've
seen. Call it on the plays that I want.
Yeah, I know. There are plenty that I've seen the Eagles fans throwing out there going, how is this one so egregious and it was not called? I get it.
I want those fans to shut up, though.
I understand. And you know what? That's what no thank you notes are for. And thank you notes as well. So you're right, Kevin.
No thank you note to the Eagles fans. Shut up.
I don't think I've been homer enough today. And I think that's what I'm going to – next week I'm aiming to be more homer because I feel like I've been very kind of right down the middle with everything today.
Okay. Can you be overly homerish against the Giants?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Hold on. You're trying to suggest that I can't do it with Philadelphia, but I can do it with other teams. That's
I don't
what you're
know
trying
what
to say.
You're saying.
By the way, Malik Nabers, back tightness. Dable says that he's going to be okay. I don't know about that.
That's something that was – see, there you go.
But I'm trying to get somebody to trade Malik Nabers to me also.
So. That's something that was prevalent all throughout the offseason as well. And he was like, look, I'm going to just kind of have to manage his back. And so – keep an eye out on that.
I'd like to say no thank you to the Eagles kicking game. Why not give Kevontae Turpin an opportunity, man? He was frustrated because you guys wouldn't kick the ball to him. Were you scared? Are you scared? Are you Eagles or chickens? I don't know.
Okay, first of all, that was an amazing line. But also, I understood Kevontae Turpin's frustration. But also, I was like, that just feels like good football strategy.
It is. It's smart.
Now, this one's tough. Does my wife deserve a no thank you note for not knowing any names of players on the Dallas Cowboys? And when I say that, I'm going to walk you through what happened.
Okay.
Noah wanted to sleep in our bed. And she goes, If you can name one Dallas Cowboys player. And I was like, how many Dallas Cowboys player do you know? And she goes, Dak Prescott. And I was like, how many more? And she goes, Jerry Jones.
That's not a player.
I was like, that's not a player.
Not a player
at all.
And
I was like, tell me another player. And she goes,
although Jerry probably thinks of himself as a player.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. She goes, what about Tank? And I go, he's not on the team anymore.
Gone.
And she goes, what about, do they still have the kicker? And I said, yeah.
What's his name?
Goes, I want to say Brent.
Maher.
And I go, does Brent Aubrey sound right? And she goes, that might not be right. And I was like, no, it's Brandon Aubrey.
Brent Maher is who she was thinking.
Yeah. And then she looked on the sidelines, and they showed him turned around, and she goes, oh, they got Diggs? Mm-hmm. And I was like, you just saw that on his jersey.
And you're like, which Diggs? And she's like, Stephon.
Yeah. And she goes, if you could give me multiple choice. And I was like, no deal. And I said, what about Lamb? And she goes, oh, CD. See, I just need multiple choice, and I can figure it out. And then I made up.
C and D are
yes,
both in multiple
exactly.
choice.
So she might not know. If you had to fill in the blank, she would have only gotten one Cowboys player correct. Now, Noah, of course, is not familiar with Brian Schottenheimer or Jerry Jones, so he did not get to sleep in the big bed.
That's unfortunate for him. When I got home last night, my dog was in his kennel, and he was whining. I was like, I'll let you out for just a little bit longer, buddy, so he could hang out with me to watch the rest of that game.
If you could tell us one team Schottenheimer's dad coached.
And he was like, Bolts. No thank you or thank you. They're trying to convince us that was a real eagle. That was a drone. Whatever.
Okay.
Do you think an eagle's really going to do something like that? Come on. That's how we know birds aren't real right there, Kevin.
Oh.
They're trying to trick us with that stuff.
Now, that I agree with. From the 806, I'm assuming this is a no thank you. They said Kenneth Murray was bad, Corey. He was the worst player on PFF. Now, I understand when people reference Pro Football Focus, but also last night, I believe the Pro Football Focus on Saquon Barkley last year had him as like the 12th ranked running back or something ridiculous like that. And so that you can use to undercut the grading measures as well.
I'll give you three things. One, I was watching the game intermittently because I was talking to people also. Yeah. Like I wasn't watching it like I usually do. Two, I have not watched the complete game yet. Like I'm going to sit down tonight, go through it like I typically would after a Cowboys game. Three, watch the damn game. You can look at stats all you want, but the great Randy Galloway said watch the damn game. And if the damn game tells me that he played good, then I'm going to believe that.
Okay. All right. And then somebody said thank you note to the Cowboys for giving them optimism. And that's like right on. I'm not here. You've told me numerous times not to tell people how to fan.
Yes.
So if you're stoked and more optimistic about the Cowboys season now because of what happened yesterday, then I'm not going to hate on you for
that. I thought, dude, Kevin, coming into this season, I kept saying I have no clue. But I kept having this like fear of badness. And going through another season where Jerry Jones is going to be ticked off at us, very much like the way Sean feels about it, I was like, this just isn't going to be fun. This looks like it could be a fun season. I know it started off with a loss, but it looks like it could be a lot more fun than we were expecting. That guy right there has the light on his phone in his pocket, and he doesn't know it, I bet.
Okay, now I want to read this text because this is a new criticism. From the 817, no thank you to y'all for killing Ferguson for dropping a pass where he immediately got his head taken off. Yeah, but that's irrelevant to the play because he had dropped it before. And he was already dropping that before he got hit. So, like, let's not factor that in. But then not killing Dak for throwing it short on the play before where if he leads Ferguson, it's an easy touchdown. As usual, we glaze Dak and kill Ferguson. I want to thank them for being the first person to complain that we glaze Dak Prescott. I have not seen that critique yet, so thank you.
That pass hit the defender in the back of the helmet. And, you know, I've seen Ferguson pull that ball off of the back of somebody's helmet before. Saw Alvin Harper pull it off somebody's face mask back in San Francisco also. It would have been a lot better had that been a higher throw.
Absolutely.
That's for sure. Dak had a pretty good game. He didn't have any touchdowns. He didn't have, and there are lots of people at fault for that. But I thought Dak, considering this was his first game back since the injury, I felt pretty good and pretty confident about him. But, yes, that throw definitely could have been better for sure.
Yeah. But I wanted to read that. It's not often that we get critiqued.
We glazed Dak.
For being too pro Dak.
Yeah.
So I like that.
Yeah.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we move into the Lunch Rush and the Expressway. Got a couple of different things that are going to happen right here. We're going to do some NFL overreaction or reality, plus the NFL season by the numbers and Forgiveness Friday all crammed into one next on The Fan.
Eagles are second down and goal at the 8. Hurts in the gun. Barkley on his right, long count, snap back. Barkley goes out in the pattern. Hurts looks right, nothing there. Little pressure, and again, there's no edge player on the left side. He runs to the 5, dives to the pylon. Touchdown, Jalen Hurts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. The Cowboys lose to the Eagles 24-20. Been some heated feedback all day long on the Franklin Frankel injury attorney text line and the Twitch and the YouTube right now. I've got some NFL overreaction or reality for you. We will weave in and out of Cowboys questions along the way. Overreaction or reality, you believe in the concept of moral victories.
I don't. I believe you can take good things away from a loss. I think I do remember Kevin, was it Coach Westerberg, that said, no, there's nothing they couldn't learn from this loss. They couldn't learn from a win.
Because they had a really close win. He goes, we could have learned all the things, the same things, if we won 49-0. I was like, all right.
So I don't believe in moral victories because I can't go. I wouldn't be walking into the Star today being like, oh, man, no, we're fine. I would be walking into the Star going, I can't wait to get back to work. Whatever we did this week, like we saw the effects of the work we put in. Let's do it again. Let's be better at it. But the moral victory part, we saw some good things. So as a fan base, you saw some good things, but you didn't win. And the win is ultimately the factor that is the biggest difference.
Alec, overreaction or reality? You believe in moral victories.
Overreaction, because I'm right there with Corey. You can always learn and you can take away good things, and good things can happen in a loss. And I think a lot of good things did happen last night for the Cowboys. And for me, I'm kind of right there with Corey. It's not like you walk in there saying, hey, great game yesterday. You walk in there saying, like, I'm excited because we proved a few things
to
a few people that didn't necessarily believe that we could do that. And it proved to me that they can hang in this division when I didn't think they could going into that game. So, you know, I think they're motivated for all the right reasons, because you could get your ass handed to you and say, we're motivated to not lose by 25 again. You know, like, that's easy. But now you can say you're motivated because we did a lot of good things, and I think we're ready to actually capitalize on some good football.
Kevin, while I was at the house yesterday, I had the YouTube on and was watching Eric Chiafalo and Brian Broaddus do their amazing pregame show. And then on my drive over, I was listening to the pregame show as well, and I heard the great Christy Scales interviewing Jerry Jones.
Ah, love her.
He says, you know, they got some guys, Jalen Carter to load, and then they're talking about Saquon Barkley, and he's like, look, we're definitely going to have to stop the run. They're going to have to stop the run, too. And I almost rolled my eyes whenever he said that.
Right.
Like, oh, gosh. But then I saw the proof, just like Alex said. Like, they proved it whenever they went out and ran the ball effectively near the goal line a couple times, aside from Miles Sanders' fumble. But other than that, they proved to me that they can actually be a good offense.
You know, we might need to pick up that running game conversation again at some point, because I know Miles Sanders obviously had the big run. Javonte scored the two touchdowns. 21 carries for 70 yards total outside of that Miles Sanders run, which is not
good. You got near the goal line and you got two touchdowns. Who was the goal line touchdown guy last year?
Ooh. Still Zeke.
It was Zeke. Remember, we're missing Zeke.
It's always
Zeke. That's something. No, I agree with you, man. I want 5 yards a carry. I absolutely want 5 yards a carry. And if he can give us that, that's awesome. I think that I got a little more than I was expecting last night.
Overreaction or reality? Bryce Young will prove himself worthy of a contract extension from the Panthers.
Ooh, he's got a receiver to throw to. I think this is a reality. I thought he was a better quarterback than he was the first couple of years in Carolina. I'm interested to know if that last part of this of the second season is the real version of him that we're going to get.
Right.
But now that he's got Tet with him and they can do some work, I'm interested to see what they can grow and build there. So I think he will.
Alec, overreaction or reality? Bryce Young, contract extension.
Feels weird to say it, but reality, because it seemed like all signs were pointing towards that was just the worst possible situation that he could have gone to, and it's still not a great situation, but something happened with maybe it was the coaching change, the whole leadership change that they made with a new GM and everything. I don't know what it was, but he's just got that confidence that he had in college, the poise and composure, you know, the things that you can't really teach, the things that you just have to grow. And I think that it's going to be consistent. You saw it throughout training camp from what we were able to see from miles and miles away in the preseason. It looks like it's going to stick. It looks like something's just kind of clicked for him. So I like what I'm seeing.
All right, NFL overreaction or reality? I'm really excited about this one. Obviously, I'm going to borrow from our friend Reginald Atatula for this. This is the year that Tyler Guyton puts it all together. Now, I know it's only the second year, so this might be a fake usage of that. But this is the year that Tyler Guyton puts it all together.
Kevin, can I tell you a secret?
I mean, you're on air. Don't do the same thing they do on wrestling, and they're like, hey, I got a secret for you. And I was like, you can see the cameraman right in front of you, right?
The other day, Kay Adams had done is this the year that so-and-so puts it all together? And I reached out to Reginald Atatula, and I said, Reggie, the great Kay Adams is trying to steal your bit.
Oh, my God.
And he said, quite honestly, it wasn't my bit in the first place. It was Bomani Jones.
Oh.
That was my reaction immediately was, oh, man. So Kevin, I appreciate that.
Jason Kelsey's trying to take that from you.
Yeah, he is with that commercial. I think that puts it all together is too much. I think that's an overreaction.
Okay.
But obviously it was because of the way that you used the quote, too. Because I think this is a building year for showing that he can play in the league. Last year, okay. He didn't even look like he could play in the league.
Yeah.
And that was obviously something that they said, even the Cowboys said multiple times, we know it's going to be a learning year. They kind of also were like, well, we took a tackle, and we took him, and we might regret it, but we really need him to pan out. So I think he's going to have a growing year, but I think put it all together, I'll give him another year or two before I say that's even possible.
All right, Alec, I'm depending on you to make this nonsense make sense. This is the year that Tyler Guyton puts it all together.
Kevin, can I tell you a secret?
Yes.
This is the year that Tyler Guyton puts it all together. That is a reality.
I think
it's just going to be a testament to, really, in my mind, I know Bobby's talked about this a lot. I think the new coaching staff has a lot to do with that. I think the new offensive line, just group that he's working with on the field, but the coaches, you know, and Clayton Adams having the background of working one-on-one with offensive linemen as the position coach in his previous stops, I think that this is going to help him out a lot. I think that this staff believes in him a little bit more and they understand him a little bit more. And when you put players out and you say, let's work with your strengths and try to exploit them a little bit more rather than teach you new things and try to break you out of your mold, I think that's going to help for a second-year guy, especially who, you know, when he doesn't get as many reps as you'd like in the preseason with the injury, I think it's going to benefit him a lot.
Yeah, and to just piggyback on what he said about Clayton Adams and Connor Riley, Clayton Adams, offensive coordinator, Connor Riley, the offensive line coach, Jerry was talking about hiring those two guys,
right,
and why they hired them and the success that he liked and the things that they did well. And so, Kevin, that might be the reason that he has more success this year, to go on with what Alec just said.
Now, I'm going to go and throw this out there in case things go sideways in the first game and I don't want to look as stupid. Omarion Hampton, not Ashton Jeanty, should be the favorite for NFL Rookie of the Year. Look, they also spent a number one pick on him. I know they got Najee Harris. Najee Harris is a spare and already dealing with an eye issue. I know he's going to play. I think they're going to realize really quickly.
He's scheduled to be the starter.
Yeah, for how many weeks? One, two. I think they're going to realize that when he maxes out at 3.9 yards per carry or whatever it is, it's Omarion Hampton time.
I think it's an overreaction.
Oh.
Not that he might play for the team.
Okay.
he might play for the Chargers, but overreaction that he should be the favorite for Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think Ashton Jeanty earned that right immediately. He's going to get tons of carries and tons of opportunities in a Pete Carroll offense who loves to run the ball. And Geno Smith has not put it all together again. So obviously
right.
Handing the ball off is going to make life easier for him.
Alec?
I'm right there with you, Corey, because trust me, Kevin, I want this to work because between you and me, I'm going to tell you another secret. I went on Underdog yesterday. I told you about this. I do this during spring training for baseball, and I'm going to start doing it for football now. I did a six-player-long slip.
I love it.
What I did was I took the more or less on some of their season-long stat projections.
Yeah.
And I took the more on Omar.
Oh, I like it.
Yards. So I need this to happen.
Spicy.
I agree with Corey that I think Ashton Jeanty might just be in the better situation where, hey, the quarterback might not be as comfortable, so we're going to have him turn around and hand the ball to you instead. So that probably looks to be better for an award-winning season, but I'm hoping the numbers still look pretty.
Why do you hate Ashton Jeanty so much?
I don't. It would be boring if I was like, overreaction reality, Ashton Jeanty is the favorite to win Rookie of the Year. Because you'd look at me and you'd be like, yeah, he is. That's not going to get me anywhere, Corey. All right.
Kevin, I'm going to tell you a secret.
Okay.
You're right.
Okay. You're going to hate this next question and the way it's structured. Because I'm going to have to explain it. Because you're going to be like, no, that's wrong.
All right.
NFL overreaction or reality?
I don't get it.
Travis Hunter will play at least 145% of the Jags snaps if you count offense and defense. Now, I already saw the look on your face.
You can only play 100%.
Okay, see, and I knew you were going to say that. So allow me to explain. Assuming you have 100% for offense and a separate 100% for defense, so he could play like 85% of the offensive snaps and 60% of the defensive snaps, I am claiming that that counts as 145% of the snaps.
Kevin, I'm going to see your weird question, and I'm going to underreact to it, I guess.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I'm going to overreact to your underreaction. He's going to play 185% of the snaps.
Oh,
because
wow.
I feel
that's
like
a lot.
Now you're taking away guys that play special teams, and I think he might get some special teams too. So you got to add those snaps into the conversation.
You're
maybe
right.
Not 185, maybe 165.
I did not add those people in, so
yeah.
That's fair.
So
Alec,
yeah, you got to think about those too.
Twofold. Did you understand my math? And will Travis Hunter play at least 145% of the Jags snaps this year?
So, Kevin, I carried the one, and I moved the decimal over two spots like I was supposed to, I think. And it ended up telling me that this is a reality because I think he's going to sit around 150%. I think he's going to be about 50% defense, and he's going to get all of that work on the offensive side because I think that's where he's more NFL-ready right now, and I think that's where they just benefit from him playing more right now in Jacksonville. So, like, somewhere close to 100%. I don't think he plays exactly 100%, but make that math work to where it's about, you know, most of the snaps, if not all of the snaps on offense, and about half on defense.
From the 214, that is not how percentages work. Kevin, I knew I was going to have to sell this. And from the 214, that's some Steiner math right there. Corey, do yourself a favor.
Epsteiner files?
No. Oh. Well, no.
Is that what that means?
Too far.
Okay.
Look up Scott Steiner math promo. But you're going to need
I've seen this before.
Just, it's so amazing.
Because it was in the other guy sitting there going, hold on, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Petey Williams is in the background. And then sometimes he's like, oh, yeah, no, I got it. I agree with you. All right, NFL overreaction to reality. We'll get back to a more grounded idea.
No, I don't know,
right,
man.
Here.
I like the ungrounded.
Okay. NFL.
Or elevated, as I like to call it.
Oh, my God. Overreaction or reality. The Bills, Ravens, or Eagles will lead the league in points scored. The Bills, Ravens, or Eagles will
lead. The Bills are only going to score 24 points like they did last night. The Eagles are only going to score 24 points like they did last night.
Right.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I will roll out with one of those other two. The Ravens or Bills will do that this year.
Alec, what say you?
I say it's a reality as well, and I will say I'll actually pick a team. I think it's going to be the Ravens. I think that offense is going to continue to roll with Derrick Henry. Lamar Jackson is going to play just as well because that coaching staff has finally unlocked that perfect balance. They really understand them now, and I think it's going to lead to a ton of points being scored.
All right, now this is an individual NFL overreaction to reality. Bijan Robinson will be unstoppable this season. He said last year's goal was 2,000 yards from scrimmage. He was about 100 yards or so short. There we go.
Jump.
And he's going to make a run at it. I think he's going to be badass this year. He said the goal is to be the best player in the world every time he steps on the field, which is a good goal.
So that he has the ability to be a Marshall Faulk. The ability to be I can catch the ball out of the backfield and give you 1,500 yards.
Yeah.
I can run. I can give you 1,500 yards. Like, he has that ability and to be so much more. And for some reason, they constantly go, but we also like this Terry Algier kid.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, just keep giving Bijan the ball. What's the problem? I think he is always a monster, dude. So I don't think that's an overreaction at all. That's reality.
Alec?
It's a reality. He's a beast. And I feel like now that they have the quarterback situation squared away and there's not going to be the constant questions of what is this offense going to look like, and the game planning each week is going to be a lot more consistent of, hey, we know ways that we can get the ball to you out of the backfield and pass plays and whatnot because we actually know our quarterback can move and he's not going to be a statue in the backfield because, you know, the injuries caught up to him. I think everything's just going to look a lot more clean, and that's going to lead to more touches for him.
NFL overreaction or reality. the Saints or Browns will be the worst team in the NFL this season?
Oh, reality. I think the Saints are going to struggle mightily. I mean, just the quarterback position itself. I know that Kellen Moore can dial up some really good offenses, but you have to execute those offenses as well. And I think they're kind of in a talent struggle still, trying to figure out exactly what to do. That being said, I think Alvin Kamara might be a good fantasy player for you this year, you know, because
they're not going to be able to throw the ball.
Yeah, and they'll check down a lot in PPR. That's going to help out, but they'll check down. And then on top of that, he'll get a lot of runs. So, but I think that they're probably destined for it, man.
Alec, what say you?
I think they are destined for it, and I feel bad for Alvin Kamara, but not really, because he chose to re-sign there and essentially end his career there. But, yeah, the talent swamp is real. I mean, I feel like Corey's player coach idea is not too far-rooted in fantasy belief.
Right.
Like, because at this point, you got to try anything if you want to look like you're trying to be competitive, because I don't think it's even going to be hidden, the fact that they're not really trying this year. The roster that they put out there, just look at their depth chart if you get bored before kickoff on Sunday, and just try to see how many names you recognize and see how many of them that you recognize is because they were relevant 5 years ago.
And then finally, NFL overreaction or reality, an AFC team will win the Super Bowl.
Reality. I think that there are a lot of strong AFC teams still. I'm trying to figure out which NFC team kind of stands out above the rest other than the Eagles at the moment. And the Eagles last night just didn't put a lot of confidence in me that they're the same team yet. They're still talented, but they have to clean some things up. But that might be the best team out of the NFC again. And Kevin, that might be the first time in like 700 years that somebody wins the NFC East back-to-back seasons.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Alec, wrapping it up with this one, overreaction reality, an AFC team will win the Super Bowl.
If it's not my team that's going to win, I always want it to be somebody from the other conference. So I'm going to say yes, and I hope it's the Ravens, because as a fan of just players in specific, I want the discussion around Lamar Jackson to fade away about what he can do and can't do in the playoffs and the MVP awards and whatnot. I want all of that to disappear, because I think he deserves it. I think he's good enough, and I think that team is good enough to win. So my prediction, you know, before week one really gets underway, outside of the game last night, I would probably say the Ravens have the best chance in my mind.
Now, I wanted to throw this out there, because we also are doing some shout-outs today from the 817. Shout-out to my wife for sexy time after I was extremely sad that my goat dropped the passes.
Oh, man. Hey, we all were very sad about that last night.
Yeah.
My wife was asleep.
Yeah.
So she didn't help me out at all.
Did she go to sleep before the game was over?
She was asleep at like 9 o'clock last
night. Wow.
I was gone, though. So she wasn't there with me. I was out and about doing things. So I can't blame her for that. She has a long day today. My nieces are coming over tonight, dude. She's got work to do.
Okay.
They're my nieces, but she still has to work hard.
Okay. All right. Quick side question for you guys. Since the G-Bag Nation will be out at Globe Life Field today for that start of the series with the Astros, Rangers, Astros, out of the three games, how many are the Rangers going to win? How many do you really think they're going to win?
Two. I really do think they're going to have a better, great chances to win these first two. Having the back-to-backs with Jacob DeGrom and Merrill Kelly, as you discussed this morning, I think they have the best chance to win those two, because those are the best opportunities to have low scores against. And I just don't trust the Rangers to compile a bunch of runs, so you're going to need to have a bunch of goose eggs on the board.
Alec, does two out of three sound right to you? Two out of three ain't bad.
It's not bad at all. And, Corey, I think you remember we witnessed the clubhouse starting to melt down there in Houston because of a certain pitcher throwing at his catcher. So, you know, I think all signs are pointing towards just absolute implosion there for that Houston club. So I'm not even going to say their name. They don't deserve it. Give me the Rangers taking two games.
Bochy desperately wanted to have a conversation about that, but he realized he had to back off because of somebody else's team.
And it
was the Astros, but he was hinting. Oh, yeah, definitely something's going on there.
No, I agree with you. Now, a little bit of a mini Forgiveness Friday right here, and we can go more in depth on this if you want. I love Kennedy Landry's articles. I think she's super tapped into the team. But I found this answer fascinating. MLB.com, player with the most to prove on each team the rest of the way. Her vote was for Jacob DeGrom. So I asked the tough question, does Kennedy Landry need to ask for forgiveness for saying Jacob DeGrom still has something to prove this year?
No, I think he does have something to prove.
Really?
I appreciate what you're saying here, Kevin. There's got to be another player on this team, Jock Peterson.
Josh Smith.
Wyatt Langford. Adolis Garcia. Corey Seager's appendix. You know, like, there's lots of things.
Oh, that appendix already failed.
It's gone. But I see what she's saying, and I didn't read the rest of what she said. But my presumption is, when was the last time he finished a full season?
19?
Okay.
Maybe?
It's a long time. So to finish this full season healthy would be amazing for him. Like the confidence that goes along with that. By the way, whenever I drop that Bill Parcells quote later, it's going to be about confidence. Just be ready for it. Alec coming up here at 1 o'clock. I think that Jacob DeGrom still has that left to prove. He's proven that he can be back to the kind of guy that he was. Now, he's not pitching 9 innings. He's not throwing complete game shutouts and no hitters. But he's proven that he can still be a dominant pitcher when he's on the mound. But finishing out the season healthy is the thing that he still has to prove to himself and to this team and the fan base.
Now, Alec, I need your help with this next one, because I'm going to say that everyone involved with this needs Forgiveness Friday, but I could also see how I end up being one of the people that watches this, so I'm asking for forgiveness ahead of time for myself as well, for future Kevin. Everybody involved with this Floyd Mayweather,
please,
Mike
forgive
Tyson
me, Kevin.
Farce.
Look at this monster.
Oh.
What is this thing? It's a chocolate brownie, and it's got... it's got sauce all over it, and it's got some whipped cream next to it, and strawberries, and it looks so good. Sorry, please forgive me for interrupting. It looked amazing. Thank you very
please
much.
Please forgive me for just giving that to
sorry
you.
About that, Ruben.
Man, did you hear people audibly go, oh, I'll like we're back. Not going to give it back.
I'll give it back. Back to you, Kevin, regarding the boxing.
All right. Alec, does everybody involved in this Floyd Mayweather Jr. Mike Tyson farce need to ask for forgiveness?
Yeah, I didn't think we could get much lower than putting Mike Tyson against Jake Paul. And then
and you saw that. He looked terrible in that fight.
Exactly. I was going to say, what are we doing there? But I know exactly what they're doing. They're trying to collect a paycheck. And you know what? Everybody deserves all the money in the world. I'm okay with that. But the ways you go about it, I will judge you, and I will judge you very harshly. This is stupid. This is irritating. As a fan of combat sports, it just feels like a slap in the face, because guess what? They know my dumb ass is going to watch it, but it's not going to be anything worth watching, and that's exactly why I'm going to watch it. And then we're going to laugh about it, and we're going to talk about it, and then it's going to give MVP Promotions or whoever out there the best reason to say, how about we think of something dumber, but we raise the price and we get more people to watch it. So yes, everybody deserves forgiveness, including future Kevin and future Alec, because we're going to watch it.
Why don't we put a horse out there against a marsupial?
You know, it's funny that you said that. I was just thinking about, like, would people watch Mike Tyson box a horse or something like
absolutely
that?
Absolutely, we would. Here's the question I have about this. You know what to expect from this, as Alec just said. You know what to expect. If they just told you, and Mayweather at the end was, he ran a lot.
Sure.
His boxing was different. He was still a sharp technician with his boxing.
Great defensive fighter.
Tyson was known for being a bull.
Yeah.
And so his power was the key to that. If it was two guys that they're like at that age and they said, no, this isn't a fight for a belt. This isn't for anything. We just want to get in the ring and show the technique that we have in this sport still. Would that be of interest at all to you to kind of watch a demonstration of two great boxers? Because Tyson can't do that without being the power that he was. But if it was Mayweather and somebody else that had great technique, would that be interesting to boxing fans?
Maybe. I don't. Maybe.
If you're not getting the knockout, I think a lot of people are the expectation of knockout, then people don't really want to be involved.
I'm okay without the knockout, and in fact, future Kevin needs to ask for forgiveness again. Guys, I will not be here in person next Friday for the Friday football feast.
Guess what, though? Guess what?
I will be on the show, though, live from Las Vegas, getting ready for the Canelo-Crawford fight. I almost forgot I'm flying out in 6 days.
Yeah, that's actually not the big surprise.
Oh, what?
The big reveal is that one Alec Medford will be sitting next to
me.
Oh man, yeah. So he'll be out with us out and about as Kevin is in Vegas.
Kind of hurtful that I got booed.
You're doing the whole show from Vegas.
Yes,
it's like we got a lot of work to figure out here. We got some things we got to kind of like figure out. Are you just a guest on the show? I don't know exactly how this is going to go.
Maybe
Kevin, the one of the best guests on the KNC Master.
Okay, thank you, thank you very much. For allowing me to be a guest on your show. Maybe it'll be better without me.
No, what are you talking about right now?
Does Caitlin Clark need to ask for forgiveness, or do injuries need to ask for forgiveness? She said she's officially out for the rest of the year.
Isn't their season like over next week?
Yeah, but they can make a run at the playoffs, unlike the Wings.
Yeah, I guess her body needs to ask for forgiveness. For not holding up for the full season. I mean, it takes a physical toll to play this game, as they all told her before her rookie season, didn't they?
Do you think the people who don't like her already are going to be like, see, she's soft.
See, she look how soft she is. All she can do is shoot three-pointers to the left.
Whoa, man. Whoa, are you? Hold on.
That's
Alec,
what some
is Corey a secret
say.
Caitlin Clark hater?
I think he is.
Oh, my gosh.
I've been very opinionated lately, Majors. What's going on here? First the Philly love, now the Caitlin Clark hate.
Jeez. I don't know, man.
Well, this is why he gets texts like this from the 469. Corey is still my favorite radio personality ever.
Aww.
Love you too, Kevin, but Alec is moving up the charts as well.
because Kevin's going
man,
to.
Really, really feels like I'm falling down the list here, but congratulations to Corey and to Alec for being very popular and shipping me off to Las Vegas. I humbly accept my punishment.
My niece last night, Kevin, needs to ask for forgiveness.
Oh.
Yeah. I went to drink my water. Evidently, she drank the last of it. And then I went back for my tater tots. She ate the rest of my tater tots. And so I was like, look, you were my favorite niece. And now, right
because of that,
yeah, right
she's
in front
out?
Of her sister too, you know. So that was kind of a weird situation. But then I was like, you know what? You're going down the rungs just a little bit. Aubrey's making her way up to the top, so she's got some work to do.
That man, that's a good question.
Maybe a little extra cleanup at the house tonight. I don't know.
Okay, because do people, parents, uncles who rank their children or nieces and nephews need to ask for forgiveness? Because my mom has four grandchildren now, and she frequently tells Brandon that he is by far her favorite. And she goes, I love them all, but we got so much time, just you and
yeah,
I.
It was definitely,
you're my favorite. And I'm like, oh, in your
sense.
Face, Noah.
And he needs that, too. I mean, yeah, I definitely tell the boys. I remember telling, they said, hey, who's your favorite? And I said, look, Lucy's the favorite. Because she's the girl. You boys are both competing for second place. And Avery sat there for a minute, and he looked at me, and he goes, I don't think you're supposed to say that out loud, Dad. And I was like, well, at least you know.
Now, and somebody asked, am I a big boxing fan? Absolutely. I've got Canelo by decision, much like when Canelo tried to move up just a little bit. I thought it was a tiny bit too much for him. I think this is going to be a hell of a fight. Maybe the biggest money fight that boxing has right now.
You get
and
to
I'm
stay
really
and
excited.
Watch the fight?
Yes.
With Lucius?
Yes.
Dude, that's going to be awesome. Are you going to have the same seats we had last time, or are you hoping to be
God,
a little closer?
God, I hope they're better. Those seats last time were the worst. And then the Wings need to ask for forgiveness. 9-33 is despicable. We're the KNC Masterpiece.
One last thing, Kevin. My suggestion to you. If you see a fight break out in the lobby, leave. Don't stand around and potentially get shot, okay?
Right. That is something I hopefully have learned from one of our previous trips to Vegas.
Yep.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block, starring Corey Majors.
And Kyle Yeomans, and the quote from Bill Parcells. Ooh. Next on The Fan.